haunted mid the raging storms of time. Its pages burn with a truth eternal, and they glow with a light sublime.
Welcome to Love 101. We call the program that because while most Christians know that Bible teaching is important, even many Bible teachers don't know or have forgotten that according to 1 Timothy 1:5, the goal of Bible teaching is love, out of a pure heart and a good conscience and an unhypocritical faith. The Apostle Paul goes on to say that if you miss this point, your Bible teaching is empty talk. I'm Larry Bunton, one of the pastors at Heritage Baptist Church in North Sioux City. It is my privilege to take one book of the Bible and go through it verse by verse each week to see what God wants us to know about loving Him and each other. Let's look at today's passage.
Sadly, many Christians today go through life not realizing that biblical love is completely different than the love they experienced before salvation. We hope this message helps us to understand the greatest of all God's gifts, His love.
Let's look at Romans chapter 13. Won't spend a lot of time in review today because this may take a little while to go through. I'm afraid I've been shortchanging you of late on love because, you know, it's one of my favorite things to teach on. 1 Timothy 1:5 says, the goal of Bible teaching is love. The end of the commandment is love out of a pure heart and a good conscience and a faith that's not hypocritical. That's the goal of all Bible teaching, to understand how to love biblically. But the difficulty is that we do not know what love is. And that's why I need to take some time this morning to point out what love is. Romans chapter 13 and verse 8 says, owe no man anything. Now in the Greek, it's a present tense verb, which means what? Continuous action. So what he's literally saying is, don't keep owing any man anything. This is not a verse you can use to say no Christian should ever get in debt. It's not saying that. And I can prove that to you from the Word of God that Christians can get in debt, because when Jesus Christ was passing out the 10 talents and the 5 talents and the 1 talent, what did he tell them to do with it? He said you could at least loan it out at interest. Would Christ command them to sin? No, he would not, or command them to get others to sin. Being in debt is not necessarily a sin. Being in debt that you cannot handle, that is sin. It can hurt your testimony and hurt the testimony of Jesus Christ. But verse 8 literally says, don't keep owing any man anything. Don't keep owing. But there's one debt you'll never repay. And that is what you need to understand about today's lesson. He says, but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. The only debt you can never repay, the only one that you have to keep doing year after year after year after year, is to love one another. He says in verse 8, don't keep owing any man anything but to love one another. Now the difficulty is, when you talk about love, it's kind of like talking about God. Everybody thinks they have a handle on it. It doesn't matter if they've never opened a Bible, if they've never attended church, they think they know about God. And it irritates them when you try to tell them what the Word of God says about things. It's the same thing about love, I think, only more so. Because everybody's experienced it. We had the love of our parents when we were born. We got a little older and we had puppy love, which leads to a dog's life. And then we have the more emotional love that you have in your late teens and early 20s, the erotic love that comes with marriage. Everybody thinks they've experienced love, and they have. If you Google the word love, you'll get 6,880,000,000 hits in a tenth of a second. Do you realize that's almost a hit for everybody on earth? That there's 7 billion people on earth, and you have 6,880,000,000 different references to love on Google alone. Everyone thinks they know what love is. But let me assure you of this. If you have not meditated on love from the Word of God, you do not know what love is. And you might be observing just a pitiful excuse for what God has for love. He says, to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. That is one of the most powerful statements in Scripture. How do you keep the law? Before we're saved, can anybody keep the law? No. Will somebody be saved by keeping the law? For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But the Word of God says very clearly, he that loveth hath fulfilled the law. Now that brings up something. If somebody's fulfilled the law, are they righteous before God? Yes, they are. So you're saying, Larry, you mean anyone that loves is a believer? Yes, the Bible says that. Turn over to John, 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Verse 7, it says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. An unsaved person cannot love the way God commands in Scripture. We need to understand that. Young people, when God doesn't want you to marry an unbeliever, it's because they cannot love you the way He requires a husband to love his wife or a wife to love their husband. An unsaved person cannot love the way God commands him. In case you missed it, look at verse 8. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. He wants to make sure we understand that you can only love if you are a child of God. Why? Because it's a fruit of the Spirit. And we'll talk more about that in just a little while. When I was at Tennessee Temple, the nickname some of the kids on the speech team had for me was Dr. Strangelove. Because I talked about love all the time. We'd drive from Tennessee to Michigan to be in a speech tournament. And I'd talk about love the whole way up there and the whole way back. We talked about it all the time, or I talked about it all the time. And it was interesting, the ideas that people had. I remember how God first used His Word to show me this, was I had dated a girl for a couple of years and thought I, quote unquote, loved her. And thought she loved me, and we probably did as best we knew how. But then God showed us it was not His will for us to be married. I was crushed. I thought love was the basis for marriage. I thought that's how you decided if you were going to marry someone. You don't decide if you're going to marry someone based on love because you can love what? The wrong person. God says love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. You can love an unsaved person, but God says don't marry him. So love is not the basis for marriage. What's the basis for marriage? God's will is the basis for marriage. And anybody you know that you care about that's getting married, you make sure they understand that God's will is the basis for marriage. Because someday they might wake up and they don't love the person. If it's a basis for marriage, then their basis for their marriage is gone. If God's will is their basis for marriage and they wake up some morning and they don't love that person, they understand they're just not in God's will. They're in rebellion to God. You see, this is a very important thing that goes into every area of our life. And so after we stopped dating, I thought maybe I'd made a mistake because this was one of the most godly girls I'd ever dated, and it really troubled me. And so I got in the Word and started studying love. I looked up every reference to love in the Word of God. And I wrote them, this was before computers, that takes a while to do. I wrote them on poster board about this big. And I would go down to our dining room after my parents would go to bed, working at home that summer to make money to go back to school. And I would put the posters up on these easels that I made. And so I could see every verse in the Bible that had to do with love while I'm looking up the other stuff. And for an entire summer, 14 hours a day, I meditated on love. I wanted to know what the Word of God said about love. And I was amazed how little I knew about love. And not only amazed about that, I was amazed how little teaching I'd heard about love. A school I attended later on defined love in one of their psychology classes as a physical attraction made permanent by the committal of the will and the total personality. That sounds like eros to me, physical attraction. And then you make it permanent by committing your will to it. That wasn't what I learned from the Word of God, what love was. And then I began to collect love songs because I began to see everywhere I looked how warped man was about love. Think of all the love songs you know. Any one will work. Think of moons and junes and Ferris wheels, the dizzy dancing way you feel as every fairy tale comes real. I've looked at love that way, but now it's just another show. You leave them laughing when you go, and if you care, don't let them know. Don't give yourself away. I've looked at love from both sides now, from give and take, and still somehow it's love's illusions I recall. I really don't know love at all. What do you get when you kiss a girl? You only get lies and pain and sorrow. So for at least until tomorrow, I'll never fall in love again. My all-time favorite song about love, and I didn't know the words to this. It was a rock song while I was in school. My brother told me about it. The chorus is, love stinks. You see, the world sees how much pain there is in love, how devastating that it can be. But they have no hope of knowing what the Word of God says. The thing that troubles me is so many Christians go through life loving the way the world does. the people they have a natural attraction to, the people they have erotic feelings for. They go through life loving those people and miss the love that God talks about in His Word. And we need to go to His Word to find out what love is. Now, people usually go to 1 Corinthians chapter what? Chapter 13. It's known as the love chapter in the Bible. But if you look on there, it doesn't tell you what love is. It tells you what love does. Love does this. Love does this. Love does not do this. It doesn't help us much in our search to find out what love is. To find out what love is, we need to go to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. The Pharisees had a question in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 34. They had established a hierarchy of the laws. And remember, there were 365 negative commands that the Jews had listed. That's easy to remember. One for every day of the year. There are 248 positive commands that they had listed. And when they said, what's the greatest? They really wanted three or four. They didn't want just one because they understood that God's commands are God's commands. But it said, verse 35, and one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him or testing him. So they really didn't want to know the answer. They were trying to trip him up because whatever side he took, the other side would be against him. And they said, Master, which is the great commandment of the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Well, they usually mentioned that. That always came up when they had this thing from Deuteronomy, to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. He said, this is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. He said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, that one was in there sometimes, but not as often as the first one, because the spiritual people would say, you need to love God, but love your neighbors yourself, that may not be as important, but Christ did. But that's not the real importance of this passage. The next phrase is what makes this passage amazing. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. He said all the rest of the commands in Scripture hangs on the two commands to love God and love your neighbor. That's why when we read in Romans this morning, it wasn't a surprise. It says, for he that loveth hath fulfilled the law. Christ already said that back here in Matthew chapter 22. Love worketh no ill toward its neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. We're going to see in just a little bit. And so to find out what love is, let's look at Galatians chapter 5. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Now we've already established that unsaved people cannot love. That only Christians can love. But how do they love? Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Love is the fruit of the Spirit. Now notice I didn't say a part of the fruit of the Spirit. Now there are people that teach that and they have a good point. But I think I can prove from this verse that love is the fruit of the Spirit, because when it says the fruit there of the Spirit, it's singular. Now, I remember in a Bible school that I was in one time, they tried to show us that how to do that by taking a cluster of grapes and saying it's singular, but there are many parts of it. No, they're grapes, plural. When it says the fruit of the Spirit, it's talking about one thing. What is the fruit of the Spirit? Love. All those other things, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, all those are manifestations of love, and you'll find every one of those things described in 1 Corinthians, guess what chapter? Chapter 13. Because love is the fruit of the Spirit. And so we find out that love is the fruit of the Spirit. Now, there were three words that God could have used for love in the Bible. One of the most amazing things to me about God is how He can communicate to us pitiful people here on earth, because He has these concepts that are far above our capabilities. And this love was one such thing. So He had many Greek words to choose from. There are three dominant Greek words for love that are used in Koine Greek or everyday Greek as opposed to classical Greek. And those words are agape and phileo, which we get our word what? Philadelphia from, city of brotherly love, that's brotherly love, and eros, which we get our word what? Erotic from, which means a strong physical attraction or even a lust. God chose agape. Now, agape, and that's what you don't want to do, to study love is to study the word agape. because God was putting a new meaning on that word. Do you see what I mean? He was putting a new meaning on that word. Yes, it differentiated between phileo and eros, so it wasn't one of those. And it was agape, but the meaning that he gave that word is, number one, only believers can do it. It's something unsaved cannot do. Therefore, agape that was used in the common vernacular in that day, they acted as if everyone can agape. God says no. His agape, only believers can do it. Number two, how do they do it? They do it by the fruit of the Spirit. Because it is the fruit of the Spirit. And number three, what does it do in their life? It fulfills the law. And we need to keep that in mind. Somebody here, you might be struggling with a certain sin all the time. Let me tell you, if you love correctly, you will overcome that sin. Doesn't matter what it is. Look back at Romans chapter 13 and last part of verse 8. For he that loveth hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Now it's interesting, he does not quote them in order. He switches the first two up. Because in the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not commit adultery is after thou shalt not kill. But here he says, thou shalt not commit adultery. Now, I have never heard this taught, but the biggest barrier we have as believers against sexual immorality is love. Do you know how I've always heard it taught? Don't love, you know. Don't love that person. Hold back a certain amount of love. One famous seminar that went around the country 20 years ago. He talked about sectioning off your heart, giving love to this person, giving love to that person, the love that was only supposed to go to your mate. Why would they want my filthy old heart? That's not what you give someone. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's God's love loving through you. And it is eternal and it is superabundant. There is no end to God's love. And so he says, thou shalt not commit adultery. If you love someone, you will not commit adultery with them. You need to understand that. You got kids. They need to understand this too. Thou shalt not commit adultery. When somebody says they do a sexual sin because they love somebody, you can look them in the face and say, you did not. You lusted after somebody. Love worketh, if they're a believer, love worketh no ill toward its neighbor. And he says, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill. If you love someone biblically, are you going to kill them? Unless they're suffering and you need to pull the plug. You see? Now, their suffering, does that change anything? No, you don't commit murder, Word of God says. You see, people act as if you love, you'll do things that are contrary to the Word of God. No, you won't. And you won't tolerate other people doing things contrary to the Word of God. Parents who refuse to spank their children, do they love them? Not according to the Word of God. Parents who let their kids go ahead and sin and don't deal with it, do they love them? Not according to the Word of God. He says, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal. Are you going to steal from someone if you love them? Of course not. Thou shalt not bear false witness. You won't lie about someone if you love them. Thou shalt not covet. It comes down to even your desires. You won't desire something that someone else has if you love them according to the Word of God. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Listen, if you love biblically, you will not sin against other people. So you know what it means when you sin against somebody in your family? You've stopped loving. And you need to get right with them about that. You need to go to them and say, forgive me for not being loving. I sinned against you. I want God to work in my life. I want the fruit of the Spirit to be evident in my life. I want to love the way God wants me to love. And then verse 10 it says, love worketh no ill toward its neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. If you really care about someone, you will want to love them the way God wants you to love them. That is one of the most powerful verses in the Word of God to me, right after the last part of verse 8. Love worketh no ill toward its neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. If you love, you will walk in the Spirit. Look at Ephesians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Before it says in chapter 5 to be filled with the Spirit, look what it says in chapter 5 and verse 1 and 2. Be therefore followers of God. The word is mimetai, mimic or imitate God as dear children. How do you imitate God? And walk in love. You see, walking in love is another way of saying be filled with the Spirit. It's another way of saying let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. That's why this teaching is so important to us as believers. Now, let me show you one passage in the Old Testament that if you do not understand biblical love, it can really give you problems. 2 Samuel chapter 1. 2 Samuel chapter 1. Now, David was our Old Testament example of a what? Of a New Testament believer. Why do we say that? Because he's the only one in the Old Testament that the Bible says about him, and the Spirit of God came upon him from this day forward. And so David is the Old Testament example of a New Testament believer. That's why Psalms touch our hearts, the book of Psalms touches our hearts so much, is because David has a relationship with God much like we have. Now look at 2 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 26. Now this is a lament that he wrote when Jonathan, his best friend, was killed. And look what he says. I am distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant thou was for me. Thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. Do you realize what homosexuals say about that? They say David was homosexual. But if we know what biblical love is, of course his love for Jonathan passed the love of women. It wasn't erotic love. It was agape. He was filled with the Spirit. He put this person ahead of himself. He loved him the way the Word of God says that he is supposed to love him. So let's go over for our last reference, 1 Timothy chapter 1, 1 2 Thessalonians and 1 2 Timothy and then Titus. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Now, every time you open a book, what are you supposed to think about it? Where is this book in Scripture? What's its position? It's called one of the what? Pastoral epistles. He tells Timothy later, so he knows how to behave himself in the household of God. It's instructions to the pastors. And look what he says, five verses in. After the greeting, he says to Timothy, now the end of the commandment. We would say the goal of the Bible teaching is love out of a pure heart, and a good conscience, and a faith unfeigned. The goal of all Bible teaching, every time we get together, you should be more loving. Do you know, after I had started studying love, for the next 2 years, I know, and maybe as many as 5 years, I never heard a single message from the Word of God that didn't teach me something about the love of God. Because the goal of Bible teaching is love. And if I had a prayer for everyone here, just like the Apostle Paul, remember in Ephesians, turn over, I said that'd be the last one, but let me read you one more thing in Ephesians that we've already covered. The second prayer he does for them, he says, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and being rooted and grounded in love, you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with the fullness of God. Paul's prayer for the Ephesians, that they would understand biblical love. And I've done a really pitiful job this morning of teaching what love is from the Word of God, but I hope I've whetted somebody's appetite to the point that you'd say, if love fulfills the law, if that's what God intends Bible teaching to do for us, I want to know what the Bible says about love. And for those of you that have already studied it before, you remember what I've said many times, if you want to become more loving to those people around you, you find the most unlovable person of all your relationships, and you ask God to empty you of self until you can love that person biblically. And it'll make you more of a vessel for the love of God, and the love that you have for the people that are easy to love will just be multiplied. That's what I like to think of us as. We're just a channel for God's love when we walk in the Spirit and God allows us to love other people through Him. Now, close with a couple illustrations. When I was talking about this in college, it was very interesting to see the reaction of some of the people. I remember one roommate I had one time. He says, you mean I love my mama the same way I love my fiance? You're out of your mind. And I said, you just mean you don't make out with your mama and you do with your fiancé. I said, there are different manifestations of love for the Christian. And they should all be governed by the Word of God. But it's the same love. You manifest your love toward your mother one way. By the way, you know what the Word of God says to pastors there in 1 Timothy? You know what pastors' relationship is to be to the women in the church? You're to treat the younger women as sisters. Do you love sisters? Yes. God says you're to love the younger women. You're to love them as if they're your sisters. The older women you're to treat as what? As mothers. Do you love your mother? You're to love the older women in the church. But you manifest the love toward them as a sister or as a mother. And so the thing that confuses a lot of people about love is not love, but manifestation. They think there are different kinds of love that God commands because it manifests itself differently. My love manifestation to Jan is unique among all the people in the world. We have a different relationship. It's manifested differently there than anyone else. The manifestation of my love toward my children is unique, but it's still agape. It's still the fruit of the Spirit that God commands. Please do not rob yourself of this, because this is the way God has given you of fulfilling the law. And remember, in Christ's teaching in the Gospels, over and over again, he says, "You have heard it said, but I say." And remember, he'd take a law. It says, "You've heard it said, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, if you look after a woman to what? Lust after her, you've committed adultery." If you truly love someone of the opposite sex, are you going to lust after him? No. Love is the fulfilling of the law, because it works no ill toward its neighbor.
Thanks for sharing your valuable time with us. We have two goals for this program. If you are not a Christian, we want you to know how to become one. And if you've already trusted Christ, we want to encourage you to become part of a Bible-teaching church so you can grow in Christ and use your spiritual gift to build others in the faith. If we may help you with either of these opportunities, drop us a note at Heritage Baptist Church, P.O. Box 1787, North Sioux City, South Dakota, 57049. Or visit our website at heritagebaptistnorthsioux.com. That's one word, heritagebaptistnorthsioux.com. If you would like to be part of our ministry, pray for us on a regular basis. And if the Lord does not return, we look forward to meeting with you again next week.